Well, the leadership team, oh gosh, I can't remember how long ago it was now, a couple weeks, 3 weeks ago, they asked me to suspend preaching on 1 Thessalonians to bring to you an issue that it actually affects every church every once in a while. And you may be aware of it, and you may not be aware of it. It's regard to the finances of our church, and so they wanted me to talk about that. But I just this is not meant to be an appeal or anything like that for finances. But I did want to sort of talk about the wonder of God this morning, and that our hearts would align with Him. And so I'm just going to sort of, I struggled with this because I don't like talking about giving. I don't really like that. I like talking about stewardship. And generally, once a year, I'll do a series on stewardship. But to come and just talk about money, that's what turned my mom and dad off of church. And so I'm hoping that you will not feel that this morning. That's important to me. I was wrestling with what am I going to talk about, and I sort of landed on the idea of the wonder of God. God is just so huge, He's so big, immense, beyond we are under comprehension or understanding, and it felt to me like that was a good place to land for this morning. And so I want you to start by just imagining that you're up high in a mountain just as the day ends. Where you're moving from sunset into total darkness, and if you've ever been in a place like that, it's absolutely breathtaking. It's a million because you sort of get swallowed up by the vast expanse of darkness, and so after your eyes adjust to that darkness, you see stuff like this. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that before, but if you've ever sort of laid, if you look at the TV, it's probably better. You see these vast expanse of stars. How about this one? Pretty amazing. It's hard to believe that that's even out there. It's almost imaginary, but it's not. These are real pictures. Actually, these pictures, I think we have one more. They were taken by a former student of mine, and he publishes them. And if you've ever had that experience, for me, it is a moment that reminds us how huge God's world is, and how we, even though we might feel tiny, are just so important to Him. You can hit the like, Kristen. Thank you. What inspired me for this morning was actually born out of our prayer time that we have Wednesday mornings with a group of people in our church. Just a few weeks ago, we talked and prayed over Psalm 8, verse 3 and 4, where it says, "When I look up at your sky, at what your fingers made, the moon and the stars, I wonder, why do you bother with us humans? Why take care of us?" And this verse actually wonders out loud why God even bothers with us. You know, I know this happens to me, and I'm guessing that at times it happens to you as well, but sometimes we just get too full of ourselves, and we actually forget who made us and everything that we see. You know, there's a few things that I like to do that bring me great joy. One of them is I like sitting out on our back deck just sit there quietly, close my eyes, and listen to the birds. It's awe-inspiring to me. Another thing that reminded me of how big God was it was this little simple thing, but Neva, she grows, not me, sorry. I can't put we in this. She grows like literally thousands of zinnias. And last year, she harvested a bunch of the seeds from zinnias, and she planted them in these little tiny pod things. And almost all of them came up. And just the delight that she takes in planting these things, and they're going to end up in our garden, and once again we'll have thousands of zinnias that we will use for His glory. But those are the things that remind me of how big and how wonderful God's creation is, and it helps me to sort of chill out, to not stress over every little thing and start living the full and happy life that God wants for us. When you look up at the sky, for example, I think that, it reminds me, and I hope it does you, that we're part of this massive, beautiful story, God's story. You know, with every step, God is there. He's lighting the way. He's filling us with bravery. He's filling us with peace. He's filling us from love. From feeling lost to actually standing tall. God is the one who leads the charge. Every glimpse of the world's beauty reminds us how much that we need to lean and trust in God daily. Because you and I, we're all made for something extraordinary. What we're made for I'm getting sort of caught up in my thoughts. We are created to be extraordinary, but all the while, it's not something that we do in our own strength. We're doing it because God is holding our hands. And we trust Him to pull us closer, making everything clear. And with that being said, I want to dive into how trusting God and recognizing our dependence on Him changes everything. It pulls us closer. It clarifies our path. Imagine that you're on a great adventure, exploring unknown paths. And deep down, there's this simple truth that guides us as individuals and as a church. And that is this: we rely on God for everything. As individuals and as a church, for everything. It's not just about the things we can touch, but also the love and the support, the encouragement that really feeds our soul. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34, not to worry about our needs, because if we focus on living a life that honors God, He'll ensure that we have everything we need. This is what Jesus says. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, and yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And then the popular verse, seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. And so again, imagine that you're standing by the sea and you're watching endless waves crash onto the shore. This picture was taken by my friend Harmon, who many of you know. He's somewhere. But when he has sent me probably 150 pictures on his journeys. When I saw this picture, it reminded me that our challenges, the ones that we face in life, the ones that we face from as a church, are like those waves that just they never cease. They always seem to come. But our faith in God is actually like the ground in front of those waves. You know, the ground that's underneath those waves. You know, the stuff that is solid, the stuff that's always steady. You know, from the smallest bird in the sky, nature doesn't worry about tomorrow. It's an interesting thing that we're the only ones that worry about tomorrow, but nature never worries about tomorrow. It's showing us that God is always looking out for us. And the question came from it to me was, do you believe that God is always looking out for us? Do you believe that God is always looking out for our church? Now, did you know that there are approximately 8,000 evangelical churches in Canada with a Sunday morning attendance of less than 100? That's crazy to think that there are 8,000 churches about our size. And, you know, and by far the largest percentage of churches in this country are small churches just like ours. You know, someone has said that God must love small churches because he made a lot of them, and ours is one. But though we are small, I think we're mighty. And I think we can accomplish mighty things if we keep the main thing the main thing. You know, our target, our purpose is the glory of God. We want to first please him. And we do it his way for his glory, and then reveal him or make him known to the people that are gathered in our services, to our community, you know, our the seniors that we minister to, the kids. We're the ones that reveal him to those in our sphere of influence. And we give people the opportunity to draw near to him in faith and repentance, where it's like that they see him as Lord over all. You know, the purpose of our worship is the glory of God. All that we do is for the glory of God. Knowing why we gather and for whom we gather results not only in the glory of God, but also necessarily leads to evangelism and edification in our gatherings. But one of the greatest misconceptions of Christians that they have about the glory of God has to do with finances. It has to do with money. And the misconception is that we have to give money because God is in need. That God is in need. But our God is not a weak God. He's not a poor God that needs stuff. He made everything in the world, everything that we see. And he has a limitless supply of resources. He has no needs, and he's never had one. And even if he did have one, he wouldn't come to us to look to fulfill that need. Psalm 50 speaks to this. He says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and all its fullness are mine. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows or your obligations to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me. That's an amazing verse. And see what God says there? He says, I wouldn't come to you if I had a need. I could create a whole universe full of yous if I wanted. What God wants from us is simply an offering of thanksgiving for what he has done for us. He wants us to literally sit in stunned awe at how great his salvation is and to respond appropriately. I had no idea this morning that Neva was going to talk about that moment when she gave her life to Christ. But that is where we sit stunned in awe of what God does. I cannot stress this enough, is that God doesn't need our money. He doesn't need it. So let's get to the point, you know. Knowing we need God is one thing. Seeing his help and provision in action is what truly strengthens our faith. You know, one experiences of God's kindness always led us to a meaningful life filled with love and true happiness. You know, remember Jesus when he was walking the earth, he fed this massive crowd with just a little food. And you remember the story about there was a widow that had barely had anything left, but she decided to let the prophet Elijah have it. Well, those stories from the Bible, you know, they're just not old tales. They show us actually how God steps in to help when things on our end look impossible. And that teaches us a big lesson about trust and about sharing. I've told this story before, but it fits so well in the message this morning. And in fact, I saw a video last night of this actually happening where there was a hunter or a tribesperson in Africa. They hunt monkeys and they put this tasty treat inside of a jar. Or what I saw is there was a giant anthill, and I don't even know what you call it, the African, he takes a stick and he pokes a hole, and he does that while baboons are watching him. And then he took some seeds and he put the seeds inside this hole. And then he went back and sort of hid out of sight a little bit. And he waited until one of the baboons, who actually couldn't handle the curiosity, went and put his hand inside this hole. And he reached in and he grabbed the handful of seeds. And then the hunter comes out, and that baboon would not let go of the seeds. And the hunter walks right up to him and puts a rope around his neck like a leash, because what the hunter needed most of all in his life right now was water. And baboons know where the hidden water is. And so he caught the baboon to find water. You know, it's an amazing story. But that story reminds me that that's like us sometimes. We could hold on to things that we think we need or want so tight that we miss out on the incredible things that God is ready to give us if we would just let go and trust him. And then back to the widow story. This widow was down to her last bit of food, but chose to share with Elijah, putting her faith in God even above her hunger. And what happened next? Well, God made sure that her flour jar and her oil jug didn't run out. She let go of her last bit, trusting God, and he took care of her and her son. You know, and just like the feeding of the 5,000, it shows that as individuals and as a church, when we put God first, especially when it's tough, he ensures that we have what we need. And here's the kicker. When we focus on helping others, serving others, loving others, and even when it seems like we don't have much to give, we make this step into God's stream of endless supply. And God promises to look after us, making our actions part of something bigger. And what is the biggest thing of all? It's his eternal story. It's just like planting seeds that grow into something beautiful, not just now, but forever. And so by living this way, trusting, sharing, focusing on what God wants, we get to experience God's incredible help for us in our lives. You know, it's about letting go of our jar treats or our anthill hole, the stuff that's in there, and stepping up to share and trusting that God's got this, leading to a life that's filled with purpose and the best supplies. You know, I want you to consider this morning the amazing stories of Jesus bringing people back to life, like the widow's son and Lazarus. Those just aren't some cool miracles. They show us that God has the ultimate say over life and death. They remind us that we can rely on God's power to see things in a world where it's really hard to tell right from wrong. You know, in our faith journey, we often find ourselves puzzled by what's happening around us. It's like the world is flipping everything upside down, saying what's wrong is right and what's right is wrong. But that confusion is not a mystery to the world. It's not new to the world. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, written thousands of years ago, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." You know, when people turn their back to believing in God, turn back to believing in God, amazing things happen. Their hearts change, and so do the places that they live. Neva's life reminded us that this morning. My life reminds me that my world has changed. You know, stories like the widow's son and Lazarus, they're just not old tales. They inspire us, they should inspire us, to make a real difference, bringing new life to lost places. And I like that idea. I love that idea, bringing new life to lost places. That's why I believe we do our programs like Voltage Kids, Voltage Juniors, High School Ministry, Crazy Eggs, Senior Strawberry Tea, and it could go on and on. This church has always believed that these programs can bring new life to lost places. Go back to the first picture. Here are three pictures that motivate me to serve, to give, and to invest in. Here's one. Here's the second one. These two girls, they've invited Neva and I to go watch them as they sing in a choir here in town today. We're important in their lives now. And it's such a treat that we can go and watch them sing. And here's this last one. Now, I don't know about you. I believe it's true of our church. But I want to witness the power of the resurrection in the lives of these kids and their families. You know, lots of people try to find a way to beat death and end up disappointed. But the Bible tells us that we already have the answer. Jesus beating death and coming back to life shows us that God has the power to do anything. And this gives us hope that lasts forever, not just for now. But believing in this power means that we're not just trying to get through our lives, but we're investing our time. We're investing our talents. We're investing our giving into the two main things that Jesus tells us to invest in. If you ever ask why you give to a church, these are the two reasons. We're to love the Lord, our God, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's why we give of our time, our talents, our giving. Because you and I, as Christ followers, we're looking forward to a life that never ends. And I want to see those kids in heaven with me, beside me, because God's changed their life. I want to see all the seniors that were here at our seniors' tea in heaven because of the work that God is doing in their lives. Jesus, he showed us how, proving that with God, we can face anything, even death, and come out on top. You know, thinking about how Jesus came back to life and the stories that boost our belief, I think we can see the big picture of our journey with God, from being amazed by everything that God has made to trusting him and seeing his wonders. It all leads to the biggest surprise, and that's Jesus winning over death. This tells us that we can get through tough times with God and look forward to a bright future that's full of hope and the promise of always being with him. You know, standing on a mountaintop at dawn, we're reminded of our significant place in God's vast creation, much like the awe and wonder that was described in Psalm 8. And Jesus' reassuring words in Matthew 6 about trusting in God's provision. And this journey of faith, from the miraculous stories of provision to facing life's challenges with a steadfast trust in God, teaches us the importance of letting go of our fear and material concerns to embrace the spiritual nourishment and support that God offers. You know, the story of the monkey trapped by its greed is a powerful metaphor for our spiritual journey, urging us to release our grasp on the temporal and to receive God's eternal blessing. Let me remind you once again of the warning in Isaiah 5. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. What that warns us is of the dangers of moral inversion. And yet through the resurrection of Jesus, we see the ultimate victory over death and a call to live in the light of his truth and hope. We're a people of victory. And we ought to live that way so that others can live in victory too. And so as we navigate life's uncertainties and moral ambiguities, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ offers us this clarity, hope, and the promise of eternal life. And it encourages us to live with purpose, generosity, and a deep trust in God's sovereign care. And so I want to end with this. So if you're not volunteering in any ministry in the church, volunteer with a heart of gratitude. Give of your time. Get involved. Come and hang out with kids. We'll put you to work. You might never go back, but it's such an amazing ministry to be part of. If you're not giving, then give with a heart of generosity. If you're not living with purpose, then trust in God's sovereign care, because all of this is to the glory of God. And our finances will take care of itself because God is providing for them. And he doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us. And so I just encourage you to do what you can to bring glory to God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you that you have called us out of darkness into light. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who went to the cross, suffered a cruel and horrible death, but then rose again from the dead, was resurrected to new life. And Father, you have considered us, each one of us, worthy of Jesus' sacrifice. Father, help us to fall to our knees, to give him thanks, to bring you glory. And as we contemplate the difficulties that as a church we face sometimes, Father, help us to center in on your purpose and your plan for your glory. And we know that you will provide for all of our needs. Thank you so much for the good work that is happening in this place. Thank you for the hundreds of people that come throughout the month that get to experience the things that we do in your name. And we pray that you transform their lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.